From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 7th day of May 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett will be here, too, to take a look at the cash grain situation. He's at agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. And we'll discuss the weather forecast. Cold weather is due over the weekend in parts of the Midwest. There could be some freezing temperatures. We'll try to figure out where. We'll do that with Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago, all on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers as they finished up in Chicago today. May corn at 316, up 4.25. July at 318, 3.75 higher. And December futures at 334, up 2.75. More green on the screen in the soybeans. The May contract 11 cents higher there at 841.5. July at 844.25, up 11.75. And November beans up 9 at 848.25. January of next year, 7.5 higher at 849.25, and the bean oil up 42 cents, bean meal 50 cents higher, wheat futures soft red July up 5 cents at 522.5, the hard red at 478.75 in the harvest month up 1.25, live cattle futures in Chicago up the 450 extended limit or expanded limit at $93.97.5, and the June, the August contract for 100 pounds also limit higher at $99.95, and the feeders were up $6.17.5. That's definitely an expanded limit at 130.27.5 in the May. The August up 540 at 138.15. Lean hogs in the May up 70 cents, and June on out were lower. June contract down $1.67.5 at $63.90. Crude oil futures up around 13 cents a barrel. Ethanol futures 2.5 cents higher per gallon. Heating oil or diesel fuel up around 2 cents, and gasoline a nickel and 0.2 cents higher at 92.9 cents per gallon. And natural gas down 3.2 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average around 340 points higher. U.S. dollar down 0.266 for the day. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker, Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us.
You're more welcome.
Hey, a lot more green on the screen today, and you and I and Mike Zuzolo, along with Jackie Vakes, will have a good discussion during our Commodity Week program, which will be up on the website this evening at willag.org about that and maybe the future. But can you go through why maybe corn and soybeans are up today? And even the livestock has been rallying
well,
this week, kind of in a big way.
Every once in a while, you run out of sellers. And I think the markets at that point, we ran out of sellers. Now, if you look at the news wire does have, you know, a cold front coming down with some risk of frost. So that's, you know, encouraging some short covering. You do have some China demand popping up here and there. And I think you'll see more of that. I think China has a public relations issue. And I think, you know, one way to kind of smooth that out a little bit is maybe come in and be a big buyer of agricultural commodities. I mean, the ag commodities were the first that they started to boycott buying. And I think, they need to brush up their image a little bit. So I think you may see China being a little more active buyer in here. Now, how much and, you know, how far it goes, I don't know. But I think those are the two big factors, a weather issue, cold weather, low sunspot activity. Cold weather is going to be an issue, I think, throughout the growing season. And here we are, you know, getting ripe here for a late frost. And they may not be over with. And then I think it increases the chances of early frost as we go into the fall. So I think cold weather is going to be an issue all summer long. That doesn't mean we're going to be below normal temperatures, but it does say, I do believe we're going to have cold shots come down every once in a while and keep us on the cooler side. I've been yapping this here for, it seems like probably forever, but, you know, I've kind of always liked this mid-April to early May time window for the market to try to find a base and then try to rally out of it and put together a May rally that maybe could take us into June. And we're starting to do that. I mean, the beans, if you look at the beans over the past couple weeks, you can kind of see that we're making higher highs and higher lows. So we are somewhat in a minor sideways to higher uptrend. It's coming off of some pretty oversold conditions when you look at some of the longer-term technical indicators. Cyclically, I've been in this opinion that we could maybe, you know, keep this sideways to higher market going, maybe all the way into late summer, early fall. But, you know, there's going to be some ups and downs in that. Short term, I think we're the first week of May here, or maybe we could extend it and then kind of soften up a little bit. But I do think we're going to try to go into a June high, and then we'll see what the weather is. By then, we'll start getting some crop rating levels. We'll see if there's any weather issues, whatnot. You know, I'm nervous about probably the June stocks and acres report. It's hard for me to visualize anything being bullish in that. I think the May USDA report is pretty well priced into the market. There's not going to be anything bullish there, but I don't think it's going to reveal anything new. Because I do look for USDA to kind of use trend line yields, because we are getting off to a good start on planting. And, you know, they got the March stocks numbers, and, you know, we may see some revisions in supply demand. But I don't think there's going to be any earth-shocking changes in that, let's put it that way. I don't think USDA will go way above trend line, but I've seen them do that in the past. But I think everybody's kind of assuming trend line yields. And nothing's going to, you know, once you multiply trend line yields out with the type of acreage that we're planting, you know, it's going to show building stocks. And anytime you build stocks, it's not going to be bullish, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be bearish either, because we still have the growing season to go to grow the crop. And June and July weather is going to be more important than anything. The early start here probably tells you that June weather is going to be real important. And then that'll extend itself as it historically does, you know, into the middle part of July. So I still look for seasonal strength. You do see the oil market has kind of found the bottom. It has kind of tried to rally. The stock market is continuing to try to recover. And all of my cyclical work kind of indicates that we all put in some pretty good lows clear across the board in all commodities and stock indexes. And we're gonna climb the wall of worry. And we got a lot of worry to worry about. So that's kind of my opinion from a technical and a cyclical opinion. We'll see how I know raw fundamental data, is just terrible on the demand front. But markets are usually driven by supply shortages, and maybe something will come along and begin to shorten up the supplies, maybe not only here in the United States, but maybe elsewhere around the world. And that could kind of give us a kick in the market.
Farmers have gotten really used to strong basis levels. What does your years of history and wisdom tell you about a weakening basis level in the face of large crops?
It tells you that the market is worried about overall storage capacity. Now, we got a lot of storage, but we're going to carry over a much larger crop inventory than what we thought we were going to carry over at the beginning of the marketing year because of the slowdown in demand. And then it's looking ahead and just looking at the acreage levels that we're wanting to plant. Even though some kind of feel we've lost a few corn acres and we maybe have gained a few bean acres, I'm not sure about that. But, you know, that's kind of the general thinking anyway. But whatever the case is, when you multiply that by trend line yields, we got too much supply, so we're going to be building inventory. So it tells you that the market is beginning to worry about finding space for it all. Now, one thing about grain, you can store it outside, especially corn. So if we do get into that situation, the grain elevators will have a lot of outside storage for corn. They'll probably put the beans in the bin. I would say that's probably an indication of that. Also, it could be an indication that people kind of believe that the market is going to try to rally. And when the market rallies, a lot of time the cash price does not go penny for penny with it, because it's all about the cash price to the farmer. The farmer is a cash seller, and that's why the basis levels have been awful strong, is to try to pull that inventory out of the farmer's hands one way or the other, through a strong basis, get them hooked onto a basis contract and or DP contract or something else, because you do have a daily consumption going on here in the United States. Now, that daily consumption has really taken a hit here the last couple of months, but things are starting to pick up. I talked to my brother that works for an ethanol plant company up in Wisconsin, and they are one plant they shut down very early in the game. The other plant they took down to 50%, but now they're getting ready to ramp that 50% plant. They want to take it on up to 75-80%. So they're starting to see, a little better cash demand for ethanol, because people are starting to drive. The states are opening up. The ones that they're not opening up, everybody's violating the executive order. Texas here, it's almost Grand Central Station in Waco. I was in Waco over the weekend, and it was almost bumper to bumper. It was kind of almost back to normal again. And I don't know where everybody was going, but people was going. So we are seeing gasoline consumption pick up a little bit, because, people are tired of being cooped up, and they're gonna break all these executive orders. And like I said, the southern states are more willing to open up.
It's been warmer there longer, so the people are ready to go. That's for sure.
Oh, they're ready to go. They're ready to go to the beach. They're ready to go to the boats. They're ready to go. So,
hey, we'll talk with you and Zuzlo and Jackie Vakes at 3 o'clock this afternoon. You have a good one till then, and look forward to having you on Commodity Week.
Talk to you then, Todd.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. On this Thursday, let's take a look at the weather forecast with Mike Tenuri. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, it's a gorgeous day here. I hope you are having a good day there in Chicago.
Yeah, it's a fantastic day here. We even have winds from the west, so no lake breeze. Real nice outside.
All right. So it's nice. However, it's supposed to get cold, and I know producers are a little worried. Where are the coldest temperatures due across the Corn Belt?
They're basically going to be in the northern and eastern growing areas. The first areas to fall below freezing will be in Minnesota and the Dakotas tomorrow, and then across the eastern Corn Belt on Saturday. The coldest overall temperatures will be in Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, the northeast half of Illinois, and then again in Minnesota and the Dakotas. Temperatures should fall anywhere down to between 26 and 30 degrees, with the coldest weather in the northern areas of the Dakotas and Minnesota. And then with most of the Corn Belt being closer to that 27 to 29, maybe 30 or 31 degree range. So it will be below freezing, but it won't be way below freezing, around 20 or something like that.
Yeah, so it's also important to remember, while the numbers for planting, especially for instance in Minnesota for corn, are really high, and across the Corn Belt for that matter, it's emergence that will matter for corn, at least at this point, and that would have to be well, the corn out of the ground and growing degree days would have to have had piled up. So we'll see what this looks like going forward in the aftermath, if anything at all. I do want to talk about some other places in the United States that there have been concerns. The hard red winter wheat belt, parts of it were dry. Are they getting rainfall?
Well, they've been getting rain over the last 5 to 7 days, so things have been improving a little bit, but we want to emphasize a little bit because we've not been seeing widespread big chunks of rain focusing right in on the driest areas. It was only about 5 days ago that the coverage of 30-day dryness on the hard red winter wheat crop was the highest of any day in May, going all the way back to 2012, and that was when 76% of the crop had been drier than normal on May 2nd. Now, it did rain a little bit, and the proportion has dropped down about 10 points. And so as of yesterday morning, only 66% of the crop was drier than normal. But it's still very high compared to most of the past years, going back again to 2012. Now, it is raining out there a bit today. We have more rain on the way coming up Monday and Tuesday. But the reason that we're not as concerned as we were a week ago is because it looks like we're going to move into a fairly wet period across the plains and across the Corn Belt, for that matter, starting up Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week, and then continuing for about 5 to 10 days. Temperatures that are very cool now are going to turn a lot warmer, and with that warmer air mass, we'll see waves of energy move across the top of the warmth, and that's a recipe for thunderstorm clusters. We think we'll see a lot of them, and most areas are going to turn a lot wetter, and that does include some of those drought-stricken areas of the plains.
It appears that some of the areas in Europe, the Ukraine, Russia, Eastern Europe, have gotten some rainfall that will have been helpful to alleviate really good dry conditions there. What's your assessment?
Well, you're absolutely right in that they have seen some decent rainfall, especially across the European Union. If you look at it over the most recent 14-day period, you'll clearly see that the coverage of dryness on the winter wheat crop has dropped off fairly dramatically, from including about 90% of the crop a week ago to only 25% of the crop today. So that's a big improvement. But if you look at it over the last 60 days, so we're talking about a rolling window here, going back 60 days in the past, the coverage of dryness over the last week has actually shot way higher and is currently the highest it's been over the entire growing season. And what that means is that even though it's rained a lot over the last 2 weeks, it hasn't been enough to wipe out some of the 60-day dryness deficits, and they've actually gotten much worse as we remove some of the rains from back in February and March from our calculation. So this is just telling you that even though it is raining in the European Union, we're going to need to see more. We can see pretty clearly that France, which is the number one producing country of the EU, is going to see a lot of rain over the next week. A big system moves through Sunday and Monday, and then another one comes through a few days later. In Germany and Poland, where we also need rain, it's kind of a mixed bag with some areas to see rain and some areas to miss out. And it's also a mixed bag as you move further to the east across Ukraine and Russia. Some of those areas also saw some decent rainfall. And it's even raining pretty heavily as we speak now across the very eastern edge of the winter wheat belt in Russia. But we're going to need to see more. And as we move forward, we're just going to see scattered showers here and there. So certainly beneficial rains have happened, but we'd like to see more to really wipe out the dryness story. And it's a mixed bag over the next week or two.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again next week.
Yeah, that sounds great. Look forward to it.
Mike Tenores with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, helped us to take a look at the weather forecast. Matt Bennett is from Windsor, Illinois, and with AgMarket.net. He's here to help us decide what's going on in the cash grain market. Hey, Matt, thanks for being with us. Glad to have you on board today.
Yep, thanks for having me.
What you been up to for the past week?
Well, mostly working in my office. You know, we haven't been able to roll at all. It's been too wet. You know, we've gotten a little bit of rain every time one of these systems has come through. So, you know, I talked to folks west of us into Iowa and Nebraska, and I've actually talked to producers that have corn and or beans sitting in dry dirt. So there's a host of different issues, and I think challenges weather-wise, but for the most part, it's been a great spring, I think, for the bulk of the Corn Belt. For us, we had a great early start. We just aren't done yet.
Yeah, so I made note, because I follow both you and Eric Snodgrass on Twitter, when he was talking about this weekend's cold weather and posted that photo of including the line of where cold would get down to it, got all the way into Shelby County. Are you very concerned at all about a freeze-frost line? Maybe not for Shelby County, but for the rest of the nation.
Yeah, I mean, I am a little bit concerned. There's no doubt. You know, as far as corn's concerned, I guess I'm not as concerned with, you know, with the growing point being below ground. Most of the agronomists will tell you that we should be okay. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be ideal, and there could be some yielding implications, but bottom line is there could be some damage there. I think on soybeans is probably maybe even more of a question. You know, if the beans are up, you know, is it just going to flat out kill them, or what's going to happen there? And I'm not an agronomist, but I've been assured by some people that that's the big question. And it's not, we don't have a lot of evidence, you know, as to support one way or the other. So be very interested. We've got a lot of beans up, actually. We planted a lot of beans that first go around, the 6th and 7th of April, and they're up. They look good, but, you know, I don't have enough coats for all of them, I can tell you that.
Well, if they have a freeze, it's probably a problem. If it has a frost, I'm pretty assured by Emerson Nafziger that that's not a big deal, unless it's in the two-hour period where they just are emerging from the ground, so just as the cotyledon rolls through the top of the soil. It's about a two-hour time frame there that that's problematic. So it'll be interesting to watch that as it happens. The markets are feeling a little better this week. What do you make of them?
Oh, you know, I think as far as the markets, it's nice to see that we can wake up here and, you know, today, and we had a nice little run up, corn market, bean market. I mean, shoot, you look over to livestock. When's the last time that we saw corn, beans, and wheat, you know, and fats and live cattle and feeder cattle all up? I mean, yeah, we're off on hogs, but for the most part, everything on my screen is green today, which is really nice to see. I think part of the thing that's going on, you know, you've seen a little bit of a rebound here in the energy market. Export sales are pretty decent today. Plus, we had a couple of export sales announcements. So bottom line, I think that there's a little more confidence that maybe we've got the lows in for the time being. At the same time, I think we've got some water to go under the bridge yet, and I don't want to get too confident yet, but I sure feel a lot better right now today than what I did a week ago.
I suppose your worry is next Tuesday's WASDE numbers for the new crop, corn, and soybeans.
Yeah, there's no doubt there'll be some big numbers printed there. You know, I think the trade expects big numbers, but you know, it'll be very interesting to see if we've got any surprises. I mean, when you start plugging in 97 million planted with trend line yields, it's going to look pretty ugly. But, you know, there's a lot of folks think we're going to still lose some corn acres. So how many we're going to lose whenever we have a really good spring is to be known. But I don't think we're going to lose more than a couple million at this stage of the game.
Hey, thanks so much. And we'll talk with you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. That is Matt Bennett. He's with AgMarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. Joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.